I want to welcome now Bartosz, who will be talking about timing your YGS documents. Please welcome him with a round of applause.
Okay, so first, we'll be talking about how YGS operates on the data that you are passing to it, what patterns and anti-patterns come out of it, because from what you might have known or not known, YGS is one of the most popular collaborative libraries for writing collaborative apps and mostly optimized for writing collaborative text editors. So this is like a standard for YGS, the thing that we are optimizing for, collaborative text editors, and they are used, for example, in Evernote by now. If you are using Jupyter Notebooks in collaborative mode, you are using Wires, so work of mine. If you are using, there are, let's say, plenty of Notion alternatives, like, all right, in the open source or in the VC-funded companies, and quite a few of them are actually using YGS or Wires under the hood for the collaborative features. And from these experiences, we came up with different and weird ways, weird for us as creators, of patterns that people are using for working with YGS documents. And we decided to address it on this talk. So yeah. And for first, on the, can you see the left one? Yeah. Okay. So on the left, there is a YGS, the standard YGS API, let's say. On the right is the Wires, so Rust one. It's mimicking in the terms of behavior and fully compatible in the terms of binary format. So you can work between YGS and Wires interchangeably. So with that, tip number one, keep writes sequential as long as possible. So what does it mean? Sequential, really. And we, in order to deep dive into it, we need to explain a little bit about how YGS and how Wires are storing your update and attaching metadata for possible conflict resolution. You know, when several people are writing in the same place, for example, we don't want them to overwrite each other's characters stereotyping, right? And things like that. So first, this is like a core element of YGS and Wires. It's called block or item, and all of the updates that you are making land in the YGS docs are wrapped in this block structure. Block has its identifier, its relationship to other blocks. When you are inserting something at position, let's say n, actually we are storing information about the identifier of the element on the position n minus 1 and n plus 1. So everything happens in a relationship because indexes are relative to the person who is looking at them, and what is stored there changes over time, and we are using those IDs to basically fix the position in time and in space as a relationship between different items that you are putting in. So there is also identifier of the collection, identifier of how to say it, entrance of the key value map, because YGS also supports key value maps. Some of the extra metadata, and there is finally your update. And the thing is that your update can be quite big because of that, because there is a lot of fields to that, right? And when you are typing characters, you are inserting them individually in your document, basically. And every time you are inserting a character, we need to attach this metadata to it, right? So there's a lot of fields that have some weight in memory and on disk if you are willing to store them. And putting them for every single character is expensive, right? So what we are doing is basically an operation called merging. And the thing is that as long as you don't change the cursor position, you are typing one character on after another, basically, you are putting them in the relationship that, you know, we are preserving this sequential information, basically, like here. A2 knows that its leftwise neighbor was A1. So we know that if those two blocks were next to each other, that they were inserted after each other, basically. And once this is done, we can basically squash them together into a single block, which now holds two values, A and B. And the amount of metadata that we stored is basically the same as if there was a single item, because metadata is stored per single item. So technically, those two notations are equivalent to each other. Just one of them is compressed, another one is not. Now, how can we keep this sequentiality, this ability to merge those blocks together? First, they need to happen in the same session, because every time you create a new doc, by default, it's creating a new client ID. It's very important that no two processes write under the same client ID at the same time, because then we have duplicate IDs having different elements stored under them, and this would cause the problems. So we need to keep in mind that those client IDs need to be used by one process at a time, which is hard for the browsers, because this means that basically for every time you are opening the document in the new browser tab, you are generating a new client ID. If you are using a native, well, you can basically recycle the same client ID over and over, which is why wires is so great also. Another is that they need to happen for the same collection, because those merges happen within the same collection boundaries. Another, if you are using YMAP, they need to happen in the same key value entry. So basically, updating one key value, then another key value, is similar to changing the cursor position. So we are breaking the sequentiality of those updates, basically. And I will explain it a little bit more later on. And yeah, if you are doing this on the text, as long as you don't move the cursor position and start typing one after another, we can merge those elements together. It also means that you can push more than one character at a time, right? You can basically copy-paste the entire book and put it as a plain text, and it counts as a single block with the single set of metadata in it, basically. And also it needs to store the same type of object, which is why I called copy-paste as a plain text, because if you copy-paste as a formatted text, then it will be broken into parts with the formatting attributes in between. So this is also pretty important. So for map, how does the sequentiality behave? And now let's see an example. We are creating a YMAP. In one example, we are basically updating entries A and B 100,000 times. On the other, we are updating them first A 10,000 times, then B 100,000 times. And let's encode those documents, see how big they are. So first one is 2 megabytes, basically. Second one is 77 bytes. So where the difference comes from? Well, first of all, there's also a special size, because YJS allows you to encode in one of two variants. Version V2 is not used by default by any of the default attachments to YJS. So I mean index persistence providers or network providers, but you can use it. And in this case, even this big sequential non-sequential update would be still 74 bytes, mostly because of how well YJS can compress the information in the V2 settings. However, here V2 is a little bit bigger, 79 bytes. So basically the rule of thumb is use V1 for incremental updates, like single characters or small packages of data. And for big, chunky documents, like you know, a whole document state, V2 is quite often better. So the difference, where the difference comes from, right? Those 77 bytes versus 2 megabytes. So how map sequentiality works when it works as intended, right? So we are updating the same entrance over and over again. We are basically in YJS, basically every YMAP is a set of lists, I would say, where the value is the last element of the list in the given entry. So when we are inserting a new element, then we are inserting new element again, and we are deleting the previous entry, the previous value of that entry. And there is the thing, YJS doesn't really have updates, it has inserts. You can either insert a block or delete it. Once it's deleted, you can no longer access it with some caveats that are possible. So when you are again inserting the next element, you see that we are adding a next block, delete the previous one, and as we can see, N0 and N1 are the block IDs of deleted elements. They are sequential, happen next after each other, so we can merge them together into a single block. Okay. And this way, we can basically squash those hundreds of thousands of updates into several blocks. However, when we are inserting elements, you know, one after another to different entries, we are breaking the sequentiality, so we can no longer merge those updates together, and we need to basically save them one by one. This is where those 2 megabytes come from. So one of the ways to solve it, honestly, if you don't need to store the values resolve configs on entry by entry basis, it's better to just save entire JavaScript objects or JSON objects. And this way, our output size is 59 bytes, which is even lower than the sequential case previously, as long as you don't need to update A and B in a collaborative manner, right? And yeah. Now, tip number two, not every object needs to be collaborative, going back to the same idea. For example, if you have, let's say we are using YJS to update the vehicle position, right? So we are representing the position as a YMAP, with latitude and longitude, and two clients are updating it concurrently. The problem is that if two of them are updating it concurrently and we cross sync them with one another, what we can end with is a consistent state, but invalid state, because we are basically resolving conflicts on entry by entry basis, right? So one client might win on another, and one entry, another might win on another entry, producing the result that is not satisfactory. Not satisfactory for us. So the idea here is that we don't use YMAPs when we don't need it. It's just better to use a simple JSON objects, because JSON objects are treated as a single entry, and we resolve them as a basically atomic value conflict, right? So this is another third tip. Every write counts. So basically, this is common pattern when people are building something like a CRUD application. So what they are doing, there is a, let's say, user form that we can put into JSON. We update that data from JSON, put it back again by basically saving all of the JSON data field by field in the YJS YMAP, let's say, right? The thing is that every time you are writing something to YMAP, you are creating a new block, even if the value that was there previously is the same. It's a way of saying, I really, really want this to have this value in case of concurrent configs that I can still fight with my value with basically a value from another person. But the problem is that we are writing to three entries while only one was changed, and this means that we're also breaking sequentiality. So we are basically blowing up the document size by inserting the same values over and over again. So of course, better to only write the values that changed, never write the values that didn't change. Fourth tip, collections like YMAPs can erase each other. So this is a problem that most people run into when they are saying, I've made applications in YJS, and now I've made some changes here and here, and my data disappeared, sync was broken, I've lost my data, right? So let's say that we have following demo. We are having a map of users, trying to get a map representing a person, an Alice. This is a collaborative map. But, well, it could not exist because it was not initialized yet. So if it doesn't exist, we create a new YMAP, insert data from Alice, insert it into user's YMAP, parent YMAP, then fill it with some data, right? And then let's say we have like two documents that represent concurrent update. on one we are basically adding age equal 28. On another one, we are adding email. We are applying the updates, syncing those two documents together, and the result is that on one of them, well, they both have the same value, but they both don't have email value. And why does it happen? Basically, why JS has two levels of types? The root level types created by the under the document itself are identified by their string name that you are giving them. In this case, it's users. But if you are inserting a YMAPs under the hood, then under those collections, they are getting a block ID as the identifier. And this means that on every insert, a new block ID is created. And this YMAP, even though it, in our heads, represents the same element, the same entity, on the wires side or on the YJS side, they are two different elements. And they, as such, they are basically competing with each other. So you, when the config resolution happens, we see that under the alias, we have one object that has this ID, another object that has this ID. One of those objects will win, and one of those objects will preserve the value. If the ID is the same because we synchronized it first before inserting something there from another client, then all is fine, really. So root level types are mostly, since we have a little bit of time, they are mostly for things like schema. If you are database developers, think like tables in SQL, right? So the value that is expected to be there already, and we are working with our application logic against that schema. While nested types, they are just entities. It's better to have, if you have possibility of conflict, you need to have some person that is the first initializer of that element, and then, for example, refer to it by its unique ID, for example, right? The ID that you have control over in this case, something like UUID or any kind of ID that has sense in your business logic, let's say. But why did we take that peculiar choice? Like, why those two YMAPs can delete each other? It's not like very safe to lose user data, but there is a reason for that. And one is that Y-types can be used to basically stabilize the data. Let's say this is an example of three people really collaborating with each other and doing the changes in the document. But one of them is offline, right? And there comes a time for a peer review. They are reviewing the document. Those changes are fine. Okay, the document is accepted. This is the now we want to freeze the stay of the document. But then the third person comes in after a long period of being offline, and they also were editing this document, and they didn't know that it was peer reviewed already, right? But anyway, their changes are jumping into it, right? So this is a problem. And basically, using a new Y document can be used to optimize that in a moment. And the other is garbage collection, because the biggest problem with document updates is that when we are deleting this data, a garbage starts to pile up, and it is present in document state, as we seen before with those 2 megabyte updates, right? So to close, YJS has three different ways of representing deleted data. One is basically a bitmarker that is used when you turn garbage collection off in YJS document when you are creating it. It is necessary for things like snapshotting, time travel, and undo redo manager, so you can do undo and redo operations because we need that data. We cannot just delete it. Another one, the default one, is we are deleting the user data. Just keep information how many elements were in there, but we still keep the metadata around because one person can delete a fragment of text, but two other people could possibly insert something in that deleted range, and they are still subject of conflicts, so we still need this metadata to resolve that conflicts. And the third one is when the parent collection is deleted, it's deleted forever, basically, because once something, some element is deleted, you can no longer access it, so you can access basically, you can create a new one, of course, and put on top of it, but this is another collection. But once the collection is deleted, all of the blocks that we're referring to were also deleted, are no longer accessible, there is no need for conflict resolution, and we can just put a very simple, very small placeholder for it. And you can use it, this is like the final slide. So you can use it basically to stabilize your data. So we are doing some, for example, here we are doing 1,000 of insert and delete operations in random positions. This is the string that I've generated from it. I can put it into JSON, which basically returns a string, a plain string. Mm-hmm. I can encode the document as an update. For this string, this update is 6,000 bytes because of those thousands of operations that we had to store, and they were in random positions, so probably no merge happened. But you can create a new ytext object, which is YJS element used for rich text editing, and initialize it with this data from the previous text. Now, anything that happened in the concurrent updates in between those will be erased, because ytext, text 2 will erase text and all of the updates that happens on the original text, which is bad. But once you but if you are willing to accept it, because you want to have a stable version of the document, then you can encode it again, and now it counts as a single string of characters, which after our update encoding has 87 bytes in the document size, because we got rid of the previous text, got rid of the all of the blocks and all of the metadata that were associated with it. So we no longer need those information that was basically 6 kilobytes long, right? So that was very fast, but I hope that you've managed to keep on with me. So if you want, those are the references. I'm writing mostly about wires because this is my field. But if you want to see how YJS config resolution works, and this is like a tutorial so you can write it yourself, this is the last link. If you are interested in more in the details about how YJS and wires works under the hood, there are two different links, and how to write a quite performant CSV table, depending on how big CSVs we are talking about, but this one shows that it can work up to the certain point for sure. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Bartosz, for your talk. We're going to take questions in the room, on the net, nothing. Please raise your hand if you want to ask. It's a moment.
Oh.
If everything was clear, we don't take questions? Okay, then.
Good. Sorry, originally this talk was set for like an hour and was slower and much better paced. But
no, really, really great talk. Thank you so much. I learned so much about my internal there. One perennial challenge that we've had with auto merge, and I see your talk on similar struggles. Why is this like conflicting rights on separate objects?
Also repeated at the end. We can do it every day, every talk. He can do it. He can come on stage, do it if he wants to.
Because it can prevent updates being routed to the wrong object if things are being replaced, which is also desirable sometimes. And I wonder if you've given any thought to, like, whether you could tune the semantics better or give different kinds of knobs. Are these the right default behaviors? I know it's a conversation we have all the time, and I'm curious if you could think about that too.
So what I was presenting here is based on the experiences I have with different people in different companies, right? And it turns out that more often people, you know, they are not interested in things like internals of CRDTs as long as they are working as they expect. The problem is that they usually don't expect that. And this is why I was describing this problem in the first place. I think that this is more common case when people are inserting things to the same place, and they expect that, you know, the things will magically resolve themselves without losing the data, which is not what happens in YJS. From what I know, it doesn't also happen in Loro. I think it also doesn't happen in AutoMerge. But
AutoMerge does retain the full histories of everything, so by default, you still have the data.
But yeah, but if
visibility challenge.
Yeah, this is the visibility challenge. Yeah, so same goes here. If you will turn off the GC and you are willing to store the whole history around, then you can go back to those previous variants of the document, right? But you know, you cannot do a config resolution on there. Right now, with the latest version of YJS that is still in the working, there is possibility to basically build delta in YJS. And those deltas can be working like a Git cherry pick, basically, right? So you can, or rebase, you can rebase the changes onto some alternative history of updates, which includes cherry picking the changes from YMAP that was deleted onto YMAP that won the config resolution.
Very cool. Yeah, that's, you've had similar ideas. I'm excited to see
Yeah.
Thanks. Any other question in the room? We have a half a minute. It's your time. You have Bartosz. You won't have him again. So we can wrap up. And thank you very much for your contribution.